everyone. Welcome again to the Pixel Chicken Podcast. I am your co-host, River. Across from me, I have Stryker and Philip Colby.
What's up?
What up? How the fucking hell are you, Philip? You were gone last week.
I am, and I'm so glad. It's being in Oregon is so much better than being in
fucking California.
Being
in Oregon is the shit.
It is the shit of all shits.
Ooh.
But it's
too far.
Interesting choice. So where the hell were you?
I was at this big ass paintball get together called the Cave Nations.
Milsim?
What?
Military sim?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a military sim.
That's bitch.
That's bitch.
You went bitch.
I went bitch. All right.
They'll just know that we filed a missing persons report.
Yeah. Jesus. No, they're still looking for you, but they're looking up in Washington.
Oh, great. Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, So, yeah, so it was the Cave Nations. It was just two big teams comprised of a bunch of other teams kind of teaming up with each other. And
squads, if you will.
Yeah,
squads. Squad life.
And it was everything in between the actual paintball. Mm-hmm. It was hot. It was really miserable, mm-hmm. at least as far as the weather goes. But, you know, I spent time with a lot of cool people and had
drank
a lot
some
of fun.
Jaeger?
They drank some Jaeger.
Philip, you drank some Jaeger.
My sister
had
my,
a sip.
No, I didn't. I didn't even have a
Your
sip.
Your sister
drank
Jaeger?
No, we drank a lot of Red Bull and drove one of our drunk teammates around town and had some Chick-fil-A, and I had an epiphany. Chick-fil-A is better than In-N-Out.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A is fucking amazing.
All right.
I played paintball, and it was very exhausting but also very fun. Before that, I saw the Foo Fighters.
You did see the Foo Fighters.
Best rock show I ever saw.
Is that where you got that shirt?
Yep.
Because that's an awesome shirt.
That's a cool-ass
yep.
shirt.
Fucking awesome.
I like
fucking
that.
Love it.
Yeah.
It was
Did you go up on stage and
no,
sing with Dave Grohl?
I wish.
Mm. You should have been handicapped.
Did Dave Grohl say funny stuff?
Yeah, did he say funny, charming
he
shit?
He said funny ass shit. He talked for like a minute and a half about his...
Holy shit.
About his
whole minute?
No, he talked for about a minute and a half about his SUV.
Okay.
And he's like, this one goes out to the struggle between man and SUV. This song's real fucking deep. And I think he broke into like Monkey Wrench or something.
Hmm. That's not really what that funny. Song's about.
It's not. It was sarcasm.
I love that song. Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, yeah. He was total. He was just being David Grohl, man. He put on one of the best rock
David,
shows I've ever seen
David
in my life.
David
Emery
Grohl.
David Emmerich Grohl.
Emery.
David Emmerich.
Emmerich Grohl. It sure isn't that David Fuck Yeah Grohl. It should be David Fuck Yeah Grohl.
We don't name him. That's his actual name.
That's his name. David.
Cool.
David
Harvey Grohl.
I thought you were doing some random senseless Metal Gear Solid.
No, that's his fucking name, dude.
Cool. David Emmerich Grohl. You're the shit.
Emmerich.
Gear Rex.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the guy put on one of the greatest rock shows I've ever seen. He did it sitting down, so kudos. And it was probably the best performance of Best of You I've ever seen. So.
Yeah? Yeah. Is someone getting the best of you?
I love that song, too.
Yes.
It's raw.
Well, it's like Foo Fighters, man.
Yeah.
You guys remember the Hulk Hogan reality show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hogan Knows Best.
Yeah, yes. Hogan Knows Best, where his wife wrote the lyrics of that song on a fucking mirror and he got really angry about it.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he got really mad. It was a gift for his birthday. She wrote the lyrics of Best of You on a mirror in like lipstick or something and gave it to him as a present. He was like, what the fuck is this? This isn't a gift. It's like a real
wow. First of all, he's got a point because that song isn't like a love song.
No, it's about like
it's
someone
about
cheating.
Someone ripping your heart
yeah.
out.
It's about just losing hope.
Yeah.
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 It's about somebody
yeah.
getting the best of someone you love.
Yeah.
And you just have to
I can't
die.
I never saw that. But,
what's your name? Velda?
His wife?
Yeah.
Linda.
Linda. Okay, I was close.
Man, that's that whole family.
Just, yeah. Whatever happened to the kid? Didn't he get in a car wreck and lose
yeah.
his fucking dome?
Nick Hogan?
Yeah.
He's out of prison now, but...
Wait, he was in prison?
Yeah, he went
yeah.
to prison for manslaughter because he was driving recklessly and got his friend killed.
Holy shit!
Yeah, that happened.
I didn't know that.
That was the end of the show.
Wait, that was the season finale. Like, you won't believe
you won't believe what happens this week.
Oh shit.
Jesus. The last episode of Bam Margera was Ryan.
Oh Jesus.
Him crying at Ryan Dunn.
Fuck me.
I loved Ryan Dunn.
I did too. He was my favorite.
Yeah, he was cool as hell.
My favorite, man. Dude. Anyways, that might be the theme of this show. Might be just us talking about shit because there's not a lot of news.
We're gonna call it a loose episode.
Yeah. Do we want to just get whatever news we have out of the way and then just fucking shoot the shit about what we've been playing and stuff forever? Yeah. Actually, Stryker, how have you been? We didn't talk to you.
You know, I've been good, man. This weekend I didn't eat well. I had a lot. I had pizza.
I had pizza last night.
Cool. See, I had pizza on Friday night.
Check it out, though. Pizza also had pulled pork.
That's a good mix.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Pulled pork is so good. So pulled I had pizza amazing. From Papa's.
Okay, Papa's is good.
And then the next day I had the leftover taco pizza, which was yesterday. Leftover taco pizza. And check this out. Had a maple bar.
Ooh.
And two Dennis cupcakes.
Hot damn, girl. Yeah. Have you ever, have you ever had Dennis's eggnog?
You're damn right I have. Only eggnog I've ever liked.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's pretty good. It's different.
It just tastes like...
Yeah. I've never tasted eggnog.
It tastes like drinking melted vanilla ice cream.
Damn, girl.
I love like, it. Like?
Yeah.
Awesome. Uses rye. I love some.
Let's go over right now.
Let's do it.
Get him some. Put some in your butthole.
I don't think I want that.
But, no, we're going
to
find
the quickest way to inject it.
Yeah, the quickest way. You also get the most eggnog that way.
I think I'm all right.
Anyway, so your week's been good?
Yeah, so I've been good. And I also, as you know, Friday I got NBA 2K15.
Hell yeah. I walked in on you playing it.
Yeah, I was playing it a short time
ago. Fucking walked in on you, man.
We'll talk more about that, but it's been good.
So the new expansion and update has come out for Destiny, the Taken King.
It's weird calling it an expansion because it's almost like a relaunch.
It's almost like they've just it's like Destiny 2.0.
Yeah.
Like here's this new thing.
Before we get into talking about the actual game and like our what we think about it, stuff like this, I'm just curious your guys' take on this. A lot of people that I know that liked Destiny and played it like when it first came out and everything are a little negative about this idea that they just basically relaunched the game and kind of reset it in a way and then put a pretty high price tag on it. And I guess I can understand it. So, you know, a lot of people are basically in the thought process of they paid $60 and supported this game from the point it launched until now. And now the game is being relaunched, like, to basically start from scratch and hopefully get new players. And in a lot of ways, it's doing a lot of things it should have done from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But they're putting a pretty big price tag
What's the price?
The model is that there's a Game of the Year edition, basically, with the Destiny that comes with the base game, all the all the DLC, Dark Below and all that kind of stuff, and the Taken King. So it's basically that whole set, like a Game of the Year edition. But then if you don't want to buy that, to get the Taken King, I believe you need to buy all the DLC. Is that correct?
That I don't know.
I think that's the way that it works. Kind of and I think that the Taken King, correct me if I'm wrong, digitally is $40.
Yes.
And then the two other expansions are 20, I believe. So at the end of the day...
I was under the impression that if you got the Taken King, $40 Taken King...
I don't think that includes...
So could one possibly argue that this is kind of an over-glorified patch?
Well, it's huge, more than that. It's a huge patch. They're rewriting the game. They re-recorded the fucking... Peter Dinklage dialogue with Nolan North. You know that, right?
So they really gave
it. A better way to describe it would be it's more of a relaunch of the game. I mean, if you look at the timeline before the games came out, this was when Destiny 2 was supposed to come out.
Okay. Yeah.
The original timeline now before this was well before Destiny got
this
delayed.
Was Comet 3 or whatever they were calling it.
Yeah, this was going to be the time frame in which Destiny 2 launched.
Okay.
That got changed when the game got delayed.
So I can understand kind of the feelings about price and that structure and everything, but what I don't like is people who are like mad at the changes because they went through it's like that kind of like, it's kind of like people who get mad about bands getting popular and then new people liking them. And like, I liked that band when it was, you know, like underground. It's like that. That's like silly. I've heard people talk about this in the way like, this isn't Destiny. Like, Destiny is this thing, and no, don't change it. And I just think, it like, yeah, they just added stuff that they, like, you get experience from killing fucking enemies now. Mm-hmm. Like a video game.
So,
what a weird...
One thing I will say that I understand is the idea of, not necessarily a price tag, but of just the value. So,
yeah.
You know, you're putting in... So, people that have had the game since launch are putting hours and hours of their time into the game, and then maybe feel like it's lost some of its value
but because
being relaunched.
Do they get to keep all that hard work? Do they get to keep everything they earned?
Yeah, but from what I understand, the stuff that they're introducing now kind of makes it so...
It kind of trivializes the stuff that's up to this point. You know, so
if it makes it a little bit irrelevant.
Yeah.
But
it does, I mean, it doesn't open up the gates for a lot of new players for a kind of resurgence into the populace.
It does.
And for one thing, I want to play Destiny again.
I do too.
It's weird. I never thought that I'd say that I want to play Destiny again.
Cool.
I do too.
I want to play Bloodborne a lot.
I want to play Bloodborne.
I know.
So yeah, I think that personally, I want to play it, and I'm excited. And I never really... I played the alpha, and I really liked it, and was kind of planning on getting into it. But at the time,
you never bought it, did you?
No, I didn't. And the time it came out, I planned on getting it at some point, and I just never got around to it. It was never something that really grabbed me.
You didn't need to.
Honestly. Yeah, and it was something I kind of kept on the back burner and planned on playing at some point. And now I feel like it's a good launching point for someone like me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd like to
give it a shot. That Dreadnought is kind of underwhelming, the new area.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's one of the main things that, for me, like... There just wasn't a lot of, like, there was four different playable zones, and I wanted a new thing, and apparently this Dreadnought is the inside of a ship, first of all, so it can't be, like, big and expansive, but I think that the main thing that I would like to see them do is just add more places.
Right.
Just add, you know, this, if they're treating this like an MMO, which they are, I've never seen an MMO with this little of actual... playable area and stuff like that. So I don't know. I want to get back into it.
It seems like the kind of game that, to me, more so from the beginning, it was a game that had an identity crisis. And I feel like now with the Taken King, they're kind of remedying that more.
They're kind of rolling it. Yeah, they're kind of figuring out what they actually want to make this game into.
I read a report that Bungie knew before they launched Destiny originally that the leveling system was flawed. And that they just launched it like that with the intention of fixing it at some point along the line.
It's non-shippable.
I don't know. I think that's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you got to remember also, like, they may have had that and then been like, they're under the law of Activision, so like, we got to get this out.
Yeah, like, it may have been something that's out of their control and more in the publisher's control, which is unfortunate. And this game, I think, was always meant to be evolved on from the jump.
Did you hear about... sorry, just kind of sidetrack, but the unfortunate tale of, like, how Bungie ended up at Activision?
How?
No. Well, they left Microsoft because they... I remember specifically, like, hearing them say, like, we don't want to be stuck on this one franchise for the rest of our careers, being Halo... Because so they got out of their deal with Microsoft and then were like, oh yeah, Activision seems like the right place to go for a group of creative people who want to do something different.
Right.
And now they're doing Destiny for the next 10 years. I just kind of think that's shitty. It's a bad call on their part.
Yeah, right? It is a bad call on their part. And the other part about it is, I feel like if you wanted to get away from Halo... And then got into a first-person shooter sci-fi MMO.
Yeah, but with a Guilty Spark equivalent, like it's...
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. It's a completely different thing from Halo, but it's in the same ballpark.
A space shooter.
Yeah, I mean, how are you not going to get tired of doing, like... Maybe that's what that's all they care about is doing, like, sci-fi shooters, but...
They just wanted a different fiction to work with. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You basically answered what I was going to mention. I was going to say, I mean, has there been an MMO space shooter before Destiny?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
In that case, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. So.
Maybe not an MMO, but there's...
I'm sure there's been an MMO. There's I'm sure there has been... Well, there's been Defiance. I mean, it's not a first-person shooter, but...
Yeah.
PlanetSide was kind of like that, but that's a kind of different thing. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but... That's more of a competitive, like...
But in a lot of ways, Destiny's kind of like that, too. I mean, Destiny, it wasn't like MMO in the sense that, like, a World of Warcraft or something like that, so...
I mean, it's getting more and more like that.
It is. Especially with this expansion.
Yeah, so...
So, yeah. And I've heard good things from people that play, that I know that have played Destiny from the beginning. Really good things.
The thing with Destiny is that it played so well. It played so, like, it was such a fun game, just like, to, it's a good visceral amount of fun. It was like, this has been said before, but it was a heartbreaking thing because it felt like it was such a, it lacked, like, an identity, and it lacked so many, like, ideas and fundamental things that it needed. It needed more content. It needed just a different structure and more of it. But, like, the shooting was there. The movement was there. Everything was there. So that's why I'm really itching to go back into it and see some of that content. First of all, that I never saw first time around, because I finished the story and then didn't play any of the strikes, didn't play any of the raids and that kind of stuff, which is, I hear, some of the best content, so...
I'm glad that it's...
Did you ever play it, Phil?
Oh, yeah. I played it for a long time with my dad and my sister. We played on the same team, but...
Seems like the kind of game that would be up your alley.
A little bit. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm glad it's successful.
You are fucking cool.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Way cooler than us.
Goddamn sunglass-wearing bitch.
Sunglass-wearing bastard.
Remember when you used to bully us?
Phil's wearing his sunglasses inside right now.
I'm really not.
Yeah, you remember when you used to kick our asses on recess?
I did.
Yeah, he used to swing from the monkey bars and kick us in the chest. We'd
do a full backflip.
Yeah, I never. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, Phil. Referrals every goddamn day.
No, really. I just annoyed you guys with following you around.
Mm. Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
kill our style, man. Yeah. All we wanted to do was jerk.
All you wanted to do was pretend to be Link. You guys wanted to pretend you were Link.
Dude, don't tell people that.
Don't fucking tell. All I wanted to do was wrap my coat around my waist and pretend I was Sonic. That's what I wanted to do.
Or go in the baseball field and play Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Those were the fucking days. But yeah, Destiny's cool, and I had fun, and I basically moved on pretty quick.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I was too.
I wish it great success, you know.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah. It appreciates that.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Anyways, tell me about NBA. No, the NBA, like the organization.
Oh, the NBA. Well, yeah. The NBA National... used to be two different leagues.
Okay.
It was the ABA and the NBA.
I didn't know that.
They did a merger in the
70s. The National Brown Association?
Oh, shit.
I'm going to skip over that. Just sometime...
Take me to the present. Mm-hmm. What's it look like in video games?
So, NBA 2K15.
Okay.
16. 15 was last year.
Yeah. Good. This one's a Spike Lee joint.
It is. So, I'll get into that because I started playing that, but first let me just speak to the core gameplay changes since last year. There's a lot to talk about, but I'll just kind of get to the main points. One of the things that they touched on a lot this year was they completely rewrote the rating system.
Okay.
And in a lot of ways, up until now, it's been kind of a flawed rating system to a certain extent, and they just have never had, like, the capability, or maybe, like, they didn't know what exactly to do to completely change it. And they brought this guy on last year. It was pretty late in development for 2K15, but he was a really cool dude, and he has a degree in mathematics and stuff. He's pretty young. He's like our age.
Okay.
And he was the one on the forums that I would go on, and he would have a thread of roster stuff, and he'd be like, you know, you could submit changes and be like, hey, do this.
Yeah, you told
and
me.
And post
a
picture, and then he'd change it.
Yeah.
Like, he was really hands-on with the community, which I thought was awesome. And anyway, he and another guy worked to rewrite the rating system based on something that he used to do himself to figure out what guys should be rated. Hmm. So that's where he got the job, because he was so well known in the community making roster changes and his own, like, ratings for guys based on his own, like, algorithms and stuff.
Awesome.
And anyway,
some people are so much more accomplished than we are.
Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, the point is, what you get from that, like what the end result is a guy like, and this is how I feel about it.
Yeah.
In previous years, you would have a guy who's really good at blocking shots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a guy's really good at blocking shots. So what that translates to in the game in previous years is you are on defense and a guy shoots it and you go up to block it and you just have a better chance of blocking it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like tangible about what you're doing that's different than what you would do with another player. There's just a better success rate for blocking a shot. Well, this year there's a lot more that goes into it. There's wingspan, like a guy's length. There's lateral quickness. There's different things like that. And so if you have the reflexes, for example, I was playing with a guy, an NBA player named Anthony Davis, and he's going to be, a lot of people think
ugly
he's
going to be, sin.
Yeah, he has a unibrow.
Yeah.
A lot of people think of him as being like the next Tim Duncan. He's a really good defensive-minded young player.
Yeah.
And he's really good at blocking shots.
Ugly as sin.
So he's one of the cover guys. So I was playing as him, and I remember when I started the game, I was like, this will be fun. I'm curious to see how this translates
mm-hmm.
with the new ratings and stuff, if I'm going to be able to block some shots. And a couple possessions into the game, a guy goes into the hoop, and I jump up to, like, block it, and then immediately jump up again and block the shot because he has a higher lateral quickness rating.
Yeah.
So I could get two jumps in the span that I would normally just be able to, like, not recover from one jump, and I blocked the shot.
Makes it a lot more organic.
Yeah, a lot more organic.
That's really cool.
Whole new level of depth.
A lot more rewarding, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, so, it just allows for, like, more like dynamic stuff to happen between like teams and players, and it adds a even greater sense of realism mm-hmm. in that, you know, these actual, it's accounting for, it's not just a dice roll when comparing stats, it's actually accounting for.
It's leaving more up to the player.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Rather than chance.
That's fucking rad.
So the other thing is that they worked a lot on was like artificial intelligence on defense and offense, mm-hmm. knowing, you know, where guys are, knowing where the hoop is, knowing what's going on, and just there's a lot more that goes into it, but just kind of being more aware of what's going on. And I've realized in playing that more so than any other year by a long shot in any other sports game, I feel like this year, if I do something good or I make a mistake, it's happening because I made a mental error, not because the computer decides you're going to miss the shot or he's going to make the shot or you're going to, you know, something like that. So in the AI isn't like guessing things that they shouldn't to make things happen. So like a lot of times in previous years, I'd throw a pass to a guy who's not even looking at the ball, and because it's the computer, they just jump up and grab it and steal the pass.
Yeah. And I've always kind of, I never played these games very much, so I guess I've taken for granted the amount of intelligence and depth and mechanics that go into just the...
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that I think is easy to forget about games, at least modern games, is that with a lot of these games, especially the more simulation-focused games, they are simulating the actual, like, acts. Like, when you play a Forza game, it's not... You're not just pressing the trigger to make the car go. You're pressing the trigger, and it's actually simulating, like, what the engine is doing. Like, the fuel is going into the you know, pistons or whatever. I don't know how.
Right.
But it's simulating that engine moving. And in these games, sports games, it's actually simulating, like, you know, there's physics on the ball. There's things that are happening that we don't kind of think about because it just happens in the game.
Right.
But I don't know where I'm going with this, but this, some of the things that I forget is that, like, you know, like, you know, there's downforce on a car in Forza. It, you know, it's simulating all these things. And so and this just adds to that, you know, it's a basketball simulation game. So this new system just adds to, you know, that sense. It's taking the simulation a step further with the games that get you closer to that real thing. Instead of, just, you know, you pass it to a guy, and because his stats high in awareness or whatever, he will magically turn and catch the ball even though he didn't know it.
And the other thing that translates, like, more so than any other year, a couple of other things, is the guys, the role players, the guys who aren't like all-stars, you know, who aren't good at a multitude of different things, guys who are maybe really good at one thing and then pretty poor on other things. They really stand out and help you in the ways that they should, more so than in other years. Like, there was a possession I had earlier when I was playing a game, and I was playing as the Grizzlies, and they have this guy on the team named Tony Allen. Mm-hmm. And his only purpose in the NBA is a defensive stopper. Teams put him in, and he's been in the NBA specifically for that reason. He's mm-hmm. a very poor offensive player. But he can shut down another guy really yeah. well. So I had a situation where this other guy on the team was just going off. He was scoring at will, basically, and I couldn't stop him. Much like Phil would do, given yeah. his given a point guard position. Mm-hmm. So I brought him off the bench.
Baller,
Phil. Yeah.
I'm a fucking baller,
dude. Easy with the swears.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Sorry. Anyways. Sorry, I brought him in off the bench specifically for the purpose of stopping this guy, stopping mm. his run. And I put him in, and I actually switched off ball to another defender to watch how he controlled, like the AI controlled yeah. him. And he had the ball over in the corner, and he couldn't get anywhere. Like, he was just getting stopped at every move and beat to position from position to position. And it was like a thing of beauty to watch.
That's really cool.
And the other part of it that
do you think, I guess, do you think that's part of the new stat system, or is that part of just the way that they write the AI? I guess what's causing that sort of, because it's almost, that almost sounds like, have they individually gone in and wrote AI for every different player, or is there different routines for different players, or do you think that's just a function of these new stats being put in and the game pulling from those stats, you know, and
yeah.
finding that result on its own?
Well, the other thing that you have to understand from the stat perspective is that there's a wider disparity in from stat to stat than there was in previous years. So it's not just like a guessing game of, well, this guy's pretty fast, so maybe like yeah. 80. And then they go, you know, 2 weeks later, and this other guy who's actually really fast, he's like, well, he's pretty fast too, so maybe like an 85. And then yeah. the next week they feel a bit different about speed.
Yeah.
So they start maybe judging it a bit different. This is done through like calculations based on, I don't know,
yeah.
other statistics and stuff. Maybe not speed so much.
Yeah.
But certain things. So there's a wider disparity. So maybe this guy has really high defensive ratings. But the other important thing is the guy that he's going up against has offensive ratings and awareness ratings that are like counter to
yeah.
this guy's ratings, the defensive player. Mm-hmm. So there's just it's like a global change that I didn't realize how much would actually be different until I started playing it. And to go off of the AI, they will punish you on higher difficulties.
Like, really?
It's incredible. If I make one tiny mistake, they will pick up on it immediately. And one good example of that's bit me a few times is that typically if you're going up against a really good shooter
mm-hmm.
and somebody sets a screen for that really good shooter up at the three-point line, as a defender, you want to go over the screen rather than going under it.
Phil has no clue what you're talking about.
That's okay.
I don't. So I'm trying to sponge as much of it as possible.
So you're, yeah, so just imagine you're dribbling up at the three-point line and someone comes and just stands in place to block the defender.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So the shooter can get away.
Yeah, so the shooter can get room, get yeah. separation. Awesome. So the defender, you know, he should go over the screen. So a couple of times, it doesn't matter as much as the next part. A couple of times I've gone under the screen as a defender, like when I'm controlling the defender, and the other guy will immediately hit a three. Like, as soon as he sees me, like, start to creep behind the
yeah.
the defender or the screener, he will just pop a three off and hit it every time. Like, it's just incredible how quickly
yeah.
they pick up on things huh. like that. And the AI is able to just, like, the off-ball guys are, like, running around trying to get open, and defenders are trying to chase them, getting, like, stuck behind screeners. And there's just so much more lifelike than ever
before. It looks fucking gorgeous, too. Yeah.
Oh, so the other thing is the My Player mode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was directed by Spike Lee.
So what does that mean?
It basically means that he...
It means it's really racially charged?
Not yet, but okay. Maybe.
It gets real dark later.
I mean, it
your
doesn't...
Your player goes to prison.
I hope not. That would be cool if like, they play on, like, prison courts or something and get stabbed.
like Road Rash, but for basketball.
So, like, NBA... Blitz.
And
yes. So
basketball.
So he actually had pretty hands-on approach like to directing cutscenes and stuff. It showed him like directing like motion capture good? People. They're good. I mean they're, you know, they're not like cheesy? Spectacular, but they're a bit cheesy, but okay. they're pretty well acted. The voice actors and stuff. Okay.
Like, what was the... Why did they get Spike Lee to do it though? Just cuz
the last name? Few years they've had a more story-driven like mode that you can play where you're taking your player through.
You're playing like a single player. Is that still okay. the case? Mm-hmm. Is it you're just playing? You play a single player on a team. So sometimes you might not have the ball. It'll be your job to like get open or
set
screens or you know like make a play happen. So you're not always, but you're playing as a single player. So and then outside of games, you have to choose like you know you have to talk to your manager and like. Make decisions about your career and what you're going to do and, like, tweet shit or something. It's really weird.
Yeah, get endorsements.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Things like that. So
it's like a basketball RPG, basically.
All right. Yeah. Exactly. And they, since they've been going the more story-driven route, I guess they decided to get Spike Lee on board to kind of help direct the story. And the cool thing about it is that you start off in high school. Like you
really?
Start off, you play like a few games in a high school as a part of the, like there's like four high school teams you can choose
Churchill,
from.
North,
Churchill,
South,
Sheldon.
And Sheldon.
So you play as these high school games and you play in these like small high school gyms with different rules and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just a quick little thing. You only play like four games and then you move on and you can choose actually 10 different real college teams to choose from. They got licensing for. Like Villanova and UCLA,
Gonzaga,
Georgetown, not Gonzaga.
Ah,
unfortunately,
UCLA though.
Yeah,
oh,
and
Bruins.
Arizona. So I'm in that part right now in the story, and then meanwhile there's like cutscenes and stuff, and it's kind of cool because the voice actor he'll like say things during the game.
Yeah,
like he'll hit a shot and it'll play like a short clip of him like flexing, and yeah, he'll do stuff like that, or like he'll get.
Do you know who's the voice actor? Do you know?
I don't know, but it sounds remarkably like sounds like LaMarcus Aldridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird. Okay. I don't wish it was Scott Stapp. I hate him.
I wish it was Scott Stapp.
Feels good to be king.
Oh.
Man,
just that sound clip every time he hits a shot.
Oh god. So far it's really cool. You have like your own gym you can play at.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much. That's what. So far, it's awesome.
Cool.
I love it.
That's cool.
Cool.
I'm really impressed.
Excellent.
We also had some Silent Hills.
Yeah. So it was announced through Guillermo del Toro's verified Twitter that, along with obviously himself and Hideo Kojima, this really huge horror manga. Master Junji Ito was going to be involved in the Silent Hills project. Now, let me backtrack a little bit, but touching on a story we talked about last week, how Konami was reportedly going out of development of AAA titles, did you hear about the rep at Konami who said, that's not true?
No.
So there was a reaction from a PR rep at Konami who came out and said, basically, that's not true, we're still continuing development with games with franchises such as Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania, Silent Hill, and others.
Hmm.
And so who knows what that means? That probably is just them wanting to keep their hat in the game in case they do want to, like 5 years from now after
right.
it, like they're like, we're coming back again. So like,
okay,
but
I think that's...
It's interesting they say Silent Hills.
Yeah, they do call it Silent Hills.
Well, they call it Silent Hill, but sorry. Okay. I'm so used to saying Silent Hills now.
Yeah.
No, they said Silent Hill, so...
It's going to be... I'm sorry, but it's going to be so sad if in, like, 2 years, or maybe, like... Yeah, like 2 years, there's... just some shitty, you know, Silent Hill offshoot game, like Silent Hill Homecoming, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that kind of a Silent Hill game.
That's the thing, I think Konami just doesn't want to, like, bow out. Like,
they don't want to officially bow out.
Yeah, because they want... That's why, and I said last week, couldn't they just give their IPs off? They're not going to do that, because then they couldn't make pachinko machines, and they couldn't come back in 5 years and be like, Silent Hill's coming back, Metal Gear's coming back, and, like, have that fervor of, like, these franchises are coming back. So, who knows what we'll see from them. But anyways, they were going to have Junji Ito. And the story here, it's loading, obviously, so...
Yeah, it's weird because...
It just makes it all the more sad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't see them making anything or having a talented development team. Because who's going to really want to work at Konami when you can't make a game for years and years, or they don't want to give you the budget for it?
I hear that it's the working conditions there are really terrible, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean... The only bright spot in working conditions is Nintendo in Japan. Like, Japanese working conditions are
generally bad.
Usually pretty rough. So, anyways, some notes on Ito. His manga includes Uzumaki. It's a tale. It's about a tail and its denizens plagued by spirals.
Wait, that's what Silent Hill
says,
was going
to... No, this is the manga from Ito. So it says,
okay. Oh, fuck, a spiral.
A tale about a tail and its denizens, plagued by spirals and gyo, in which walking fish terrorize a young couple with their death stench. That's what it says. So,
I'm pretty sure it's absolutely... it looks pretty
fucked up. That is some unpleasant artwork.
Oh, jeez, man.
So, and that's some of the things, death like that. That is some death stench, that is some spirals. But that's one of the things about Silent Hill, is that the imagery has always been so... It had its own kind of...
What am I looking at?
Yeah, it's always had its... You know, Resident Evil was always very gory and gross, but Silent Hill's always had a sort of, disturbing nature,
psychological aspect.
Pyramid Head for a
second. Yeah, like, that is such a... That's such a weird design, but that's such a, like... It's not gory, it's just disturbing, and it's off-putting. That's what Silent Hill has always had,
The idea of Pyramid Head just, I don't understand.
It's impending doom.
Yeah, it is. It's just the idea of, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
Like, Resident Evil, you get what you see, what you get.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
There's really nothing more to it. There's no, like, depth. With a guy like Pyramid Head...
I'm like, what the fuck is under there? Another pyramid? This is a smaller one?
Just an increasingly smaller series of pyramids until you get to his head, which is a pyramid.
And it's a fucking gear. Just a set of gears.
Just a gear?
Yeah.
That cranks
the wrong way.
Man, that's... You don't know.
Yeah.
It could be that.
If they revealed it, it would probably...
It could be Sammy Hagar.
It could be...
Underneath.
It could be, man.
It could be.
I'm just trying to paint the picture. It could be anything.
Sam Fisher.
It could be the Sub-Philanthropist.
No. Nice. No, it couldn't, though.
No.
That's the one thing it couldn't be, because that's a really fucking big, man.
Yes, it is.
Holy shit, that first mission where you have to get away from it and activate. That's what you guys were talking about last?
Yes.
Holy fuck, that was, for me... Really unsettling.
That was that's what we were talking about. That scared the shit out of us.
Really like just running away from it and looking back. And something about the way it animated, or like the scale of it, and the sound, like the lack of like music and stuff,
and the fact that it could look over a rock and see you. Like it almost like broke the design of the game.
Yeah, it was real off putting. Anyways. So but I can see, it's just another thing that makes me sad about that this project won't see the light of day, at least in its form that it was.
Why is he even announcing this? It's just making everybody sadder.
That's what I was trying to say.
True. It's just like,
yeah,
here's what you could have had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate learning about stuff that's already, like, canceled. Like, oh, it was also going to be the, it was... I don't know.
It's also going to be the worst thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Who knows? We'll never see it. PT is all we have. So, what else do we have on the list?
So, You showed me this bullet train.
Oh, yeah. So there was, I guess I don't have a lot to talk about Bullet Train. There was, it was
more the idea.
Connect to more the idea and more the fact that I think that we're going to see a lot of rail shooters.
Yes.
Through the guise of Oculus Rift.
Through Oculus Rift, which I think is the best possible place. Oh, fuck.
That was the loudest
sound. That's an air raid signal. First of all, let me say, I never want to hear an air raid signal in real life.
Ever.
That's the scariest thing ever. Talk about fucking impending doom is an air raid signal.
Yeah.
At 4 in the morning, you wake up to an air raid signal.
It's always at 4 in the morning.
It is always at 4 in the morning.
You can't tell me it's not, Phil.
Phil.
Yeah.
God damn it, Phil. Anyways, okay, so rail shooters, don't make them on consoles unless, make them on VR.
But that's just so great.
How the fuck are you, how else are you going to make, like, okay, there's the Omni, you know, the thing, like that. But, which is a big immersion. But a thing for, that would always take me out of the immersion, I think, for having to control my character with sticks instead of walking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be an immersion breaker. So I think that rail shooters,
I agree,
is just taking that out and like having maybe head tracking and stuff like that. Like, did you ever play Police? What was it? Police Trainer or Police Academy? The game in the arcades where it had the four cameras and you stood. There was also a boxing one where you stood in on a pad, put your feet in place, and had these four cameras and actually tracked your movement so you could actually dodge bullets and dodge punches that way. Did you ever play those?
Mm-mm.
They were so much fucking fun.
Dude. Yeah, I bet.
I'm pretty sure Tilt has one right now.
Really?
Yeah, we should go play it. Anyway,
is out of business.
Really?
Dude, you know what's going on, Gateway?
Oh, yeah.
They're like re-renovating the whole place.
Man. You said that with the most concern I've ever heard you say something. Well,
it's all right. It's all right.
Dude. You spent more time at turnaround.
Anyways, before Tilt went out of business, they had these things. Yeah, you stood on like, it said, put your feet here, and then it had these four cameras, and you could just move around, and the game responded to you very realistically.
This must have been back when Tilt was a much bigger place.
Well, maybe.
Because
I mean, I know it was there when Tilt was a much bigger place, but I didn't know if they still had it. Anyways,
they
did. It was there. So anyways, it there was also a boxing one. So think about Time Crisis, only you could actually go in the cover for your own. So
awesome.
Do something like that, but with Oculus. Like, make it immersive like that and, like, have head tracking so you can actually dodge bullets that way and stuff like that.
It's like, it's to me, that's a pretty straightforward, it's a gimme. It's,
yeah.
It's
did
like,
you ever, so specifically this demo reminds me a lot about, did you either of you guys ever play The Syndicate from a couple years ago?
I thought I played it at your place.
I don't think so.
You might have. But there was this one scene, it's very evocative of what we saw in that Bullet Train demo. And where there's a boss fight in a train station, and it's got like this.
Love it.
Yeah, it's got, you know, like this electronic, like really aggressive, like dance kind of dubstepy music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a good style. And if they can, like, there was a lot of different things in there that I saw, like throwing different stuff and, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and that was using the Crescent controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Oculus, I think are really cool. They have some sort of tracking like that and stuff. So
when the past returns through the guise of the future, I came up with that myself. Because, you know, rail shooters are really old, but now they have a purpose again.
You turned that around in a way that I did not expect.
Wow,
Phil.
So yeah, that's a good point though. With rail shooters, it's kind of like a. It's something
else. That was the most poignant thing that's ever been said on this. And at first, I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
I blame Hideo Kojima's dialogue. It's really influential.
Yeah, okay. Anyways.
Yeah, it's something in the
But yeah, we're going back. I mean, we're going back with this new technology. We're going back to the things that we've traditionally written off so far.
But you think about it, when they were developing these things back in the day, that's the experience they wanted out of them. They were just not able to achieve
it. Yeah, exactly.
So they did these kind of games, which were still fun, but they kind of got old because you were like, yeah, you know, this is cool, but it kind of wears off. But now you're actually able to have that experience as a fully fleshed out virtual reality type of simulation. And that's just fascinating.
It's neat.
I mean, there's a lot that you could do with that maybe as a traditional game obviously wouldn't work.
Yeah.
That's still interesting because you're just living it.
Yeah,
so.
It's like, I mean, it's, you know, it's a very basic idea, but I think the best games for virtual reality will be made for virtual reality. It's just
absolutely.
Like, it's just like mobile games. Like, the best mobile games will be made for mobile. The best, you and know, Wii games are made for motion controls and that kind of stuff.
And it's going to start out by being games that are kind of simpler to develop.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, people figuring out the technology and everything. So it will be games like this.
Speaking of virtual reality, PlayStation VR. I find it weird that they ditched the Morpheus name.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Now it's just
PlayStation VR.
That's
which
right.
was fucking hard to come up with. It took you long enough to come up with PlayStation VR.
Okay, why would you go
also,
from Morpheus?
Morpheus sounded kind of cool.
It's also fucking weird that they ran with this thing and got such a brand awareness around the thing Morpheus and then said, PlayStation VR.
Mm-mm.
It's like the simplest thing you could, like, did it really take you that? That sounds like more of a code name than Morpheus.
Yeah, because like Morpheus, at this point, it's like a almost like a staple.
Yeah,
like,
it's good brand awareness. Like, people know about Morpheus.
People know about it, yeah.
You know,
Why change it this late in the game?
I think maybe...
You don't have
maybe,
a code name for that long.
Maybe that is... I guess, okay, when we talk about... rest in peace. Johnny had a... an interesting point when we were talking about Morpheus in mm-hmm. a couple weeks past, he said that no one outside of us, people, you know, who follow this industry know what Morpheus is. And that's the thing that I think that people are going to need to latch on to with PlayStation VR is that they're going to need to get market saturation for people who don't necessarily follow this industry. They just get the cool stuff that comes out. They just
right.
buy Call of Duty every year. You know,
absolutely
that kind
yeah.
of stuff. So I think maybe PlayStation VR was a way people know PlayStation the brand.
And people know VR,
VR, and so maybe this was a way to get a better go to market name. You see PlayStation VR on the shelves, you're like, okay, virtual reality PlayStation. That being said, it's also going to cost. It's going to be priced as a new console.
Yeah, I heard that.
So what does that mean? $300-$400 for this thing?
And it's not as powerful as others.
Well, because it's being driven by a PlayStation 4. Unless there's some extra processing unit that comes with the thing that no one's talked about so far.
Mm-hmm. We still know very little about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm sure there'll be cool experiences on it that are proprietary to PlayStation because Sony's going to pony up some money for people to make exclusive experiences for this thing.
They'll have a good install base. I mean, that's what they have going for them. People like us who know that there's other things out there that are most likely better.
Yeah.
It comes down to developers and everything, but
yeah.
that are better and open to what's the word I'm looking for?
Experimentation or different indie
open
stuff?
Market.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. yeah.
So that's more of a interesting idea to me, but for the general public, like you were saying, mm-hmm. they're not gonna.
I think that's the market space that PlayStation VR will hit
mm-hmm.
better than Oculus, better than Vive, probably. Is the people? It's like the Wii crowd. It's like gonna
absolutely.
It could have the same effect that the Wii had. Is that this?
Are you going to market something for Steam to
yeah.
the gen? You know, you're not going.
Like, yeah,
they
yeah.
don't even care about that.
Yeah, my uncle knows nothing about
Steam.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, anyways,
and they're going. I think that they are going after different markets. They're not probably worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very, very, very small news item also that I'm very excited about. They're finally releasing the wireless dongle for the Xbox One controller.
They are
in October 17th.
The wireless dongle. What?
So for PC,
that's a great.
It's fucking amazing. When I saw it, I was like, finally, because I've been playing SSX Tricky. And I've been playing Mortal Kombat X, and it's impossible to do any kind of precise. Because I just want a wireless controller. I don't mm-hmm. want to be tethered. Because I
wait the Xbox One controller.
So okay, so for PC, you can there's a wireless dongle that you can hook up to your PC, so you can use your 360
okay.
controller with it wirelessly.
That's cool.
There has not yet been. You've had to be hardwired with a USB cable to your PC.
Oh.
But now they're finally releasing the wireless dongle for Xbox One controllers.
Okay. That's
so
cool.
I'm going to scoop that up the
Very
day
cool.
it comes out because I want to be able to do fatalities
wirelessly.
Wirelessly. But the thing about SSX Tricky is that you have to, you know, do your spins with your D-pad. Consistently, it's reading left or right as a diagonal and making me do flips and crashing and making me just all sorts of angry.
Man, I loved SSX Tricky.
It's so fucking good.
God, that was a
It's
fun
so
game.
Good. I can't. It's so much fun.
I would love a new SSX game just like that. Would not you, the one they tried to relaunch it a few
years ago. That was good, though.
Tony
was
Hawk. Good. So what's your favorite Tony Hawk game?
Five.
God. Yeah, five. I honestly, this I might get whoever fucking listens to this and plays Tony Hawk, I might say Underground.
Okay.
Just because
Underground
of the,
or SSX Tricky, which you pick?
Underground.
Underground?
I like Tony Hawk way more than I liked...
I think my favorite was Underground too. I played that
just because of the time of the
and
time
maybe
of,
two
time
I really liked two.
Two, I would either say
not two just because of the time I played. Not because I'm saying it was better.
Yeah, I think I'm saying the time. Yeah, the time I and, the time in my life that I played Underground, I just connected with it more than three or four.
I believe I did as well.
Yeah, yeah. So
it was a great game.
Fuck Eric, man.
Who's Eric?
Yeah,
I don't remember Eric.
Eric Sparrow. The dick from Tony Hawk Underground?
Oh,
who steals your footage?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The McTwist over the helicopter?
What a douche.
What a fucking douche. Yeah. Anyways. Oh, man. Yeah, so I'm just really excited for that. I can't tell you, so I'm going to out myself here and say that I downloaded a PS2 emulator and like 290 PlayStation 2 ISOs.
Where did you get it?
From a website, dude.
Okay, well, I just... How did it cost anything? Or
no,
it, just...
it was illegally downloaded.
Shit.
But it's, I now have every PlayStation 2 game that I ever played and ever wanted to play.
Including the bouncer.
Including the fucking bouncer.
Do you remember that game?
Oh, Phillips? Right. Yeah, you hate that game.
No, I don't. I hate it. It's not a good game, but I love it. I fucking love it.
I remember being awe-inspired by it when it first came
out. Well, that's because
it was... The fingers were actually separated.
That's because it was a Squaresoft game, and we were all about Final Fantasy back then.
That's absolutely true.
It had a Final Fantasy cast, and it was
a beat-em-up.
And it was fucking awesome, man.
Yes. It's absolutely true.
The CG commercial was way cooler than anything you could ever do.
Oh, God, it was... Yeah, it was so cool. There was... what was the dude's name? Scion?
Something.
I know the girl's name, Dominique. Or
Dominique.
Dominique!
Ritz. Did you just say Ritz?
No, I
Ritz was the big guy. Now I want to know. I think it's Scion.
I'm going to have to look
it's
it up.
Something
one
with...
of the guys was literally sent to hell.
What?
And he somehow made it back.
I never finished that game,
I
dude.
Finished
that
it's
game
a short-ass
so
game.
It's goddamn hard.
It's a short...
It was
not...
really hard, I remember.
It's Wait. Really, I remember just being really short.
It wasn't short, because we never finished it.
No,
we
finished it.
We played it every time I came over to your house, and we never finished it.
You weren't there, but I finished it.
Fuck you, dude. Scion. Scion Vault and Co.
The game's combat used ragdoll physics?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was super cool. It wasn't cool. Great.
No, but it was...
It was super cool, though. Weird. I'm going to play it when I go home today.
Do it, man.
I'm going to. Anyways, I've been playing a lot of SSX Tricky.
Sweet.
Started Okami, got BMX XXX, because why not?
Well, yeah.
I want to see some titties.
Yeah.
Get the BMX game with the Sublime song. Titties. Remember that?
Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX 2?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, you might get the shot. That's all I remember from that song.
You might get run over, or you might get shot. Now we have to pay royalties. Great.
For me?
Yeah. Fuck.
No, it was too short. We don't have to pay royalties.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Let's keep singing it.
Yeah. Come on. For 29 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that was kind of a tangent. What else do we have over there on the good old news list?
Well, we have what we've been playing. Phil, you've been playing Until Dawn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tell us it about is, Until Dawn.
Hold on. Tell me about it.
So this, from what I understand, this is like a Quantic Dream game on crack, though, with the amount of ways that it can.
The
go.
Script is apparently 1,000 pages long.
Hell's bells,
man.
Yeah. Not made by the same development team, I don't think.
No, it's not. No,
yeah,
it's not.
But
it's
in the same vein. It's part of that same progression.
Well, yeah, it's one of the adventure games where you know you go off and but like just the amount of like.
Who did develop it?
I don't know.
Go ahead and look it up. I should. It's not.
Anyways, talk about it.
Yeah.
So it takes the conceptually it takes the hacker slasher genre and really turns it on its head. You think it's about one thing, then it turns out to be about another thing. And
okay.
Instead of just making it about vampires or werewolves or zombies, it plays with a mythology that you don't really see played with very much in horror movies. But basically, you get to direct
the mythology of horror movies.
No,
like,
in horror movies, you know they you know something you know how the typical tropes of vampire tropes
kids fucking doing drugs getting cut into pieces.
That's there.
Okay,
that's there. But the characters are so much more well-realized than typical stereotypes.
Okay.
So you feel bad every time they die.
You have the jock, but that also is a brony.
So basically, I lost my train of thought. So what I was trying to get at is that you get to basically direct your own horror movie.
Okay.
And
do they give you that sort of like capacity to actually decide what happens though?
You kind of do.
Really?
You don't really know too far of what's ahead of you. So you don't really know. The first time you're going to play is you don't know what's going to happen to any character the first time. You're not going to know if it's a bad decision until they get their heads cut off. But once that happens, then there's nothing you can do about it. You move on with the game.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know if you're making it. It's not like black or white. You don't know if it's a good or bad decision. It just ends up fucking you over later on in the game.
Well, sometimes there's fortune.
I've seen some gameplay of this, and they were talking about in this one scene, this very innocuous like scene at the beginning of the game. A character picks up a bat and just starts swinging it, and then like sets it down somewhere else. And much hours later in the game, you're being chased by the killer or whatever, and because you decided to pick up this bat and play with it earlier in the game. The bat was somewhere else, and you were able to pick it up with a different character and hit the killer and get away.
Exactly.
And so just these little innocuous things, and that's where it comes in. Like, there are so many, like, permutations of the story that can happen just from little tiny things that you did.
It plays with the concept of the butterfly effect.
Yes.
That's like a huge
the
theme
Ashton
in the
Kutcher
game.
Film.
Yes.
A little bit better, though.
A dog dying. That's not the only thing I remember from that.
Yeah.
I remember being a horrible movie. Anyway.
Anyways.
But anyhow, so it's probably one of my favorite. Well, I mean, I like them. I have yet to play Indigo Prophecy, but it's up there with
that kind of style of game.
Yeah, it's up there with that kind of style of
Indigo
game.
Indigo Prophecy is really fucking cool.
Phil, let me ask you this. Do you think that it does the kind of control scheme, the adventure sort of thing,
it's gotten better and better each kind of game I've played.
Does it better than the Quantic Dream games?
Yes, because I it has.
Here's the thing:
forget
all this. There's QuickTime events, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Are the movements meaningful? Because I remember with a lot of Quantic Dreams, especially like it got better in Beyond Two Souls, but in Heavy Rain specifically, I remember the QuickTime events and the buttons you're pressing seemingly just had nothing to do with anything that you're doing. And beyond, they sometimes tried to pantomime like the movements of the character or like the cadence of a character's like flow with the button presses. So how do they personify the actions with the button prompts at all? Does that make sense?
Like
if someone's opening a door slowly, like it asks you to like slowly hold down the R2 trigger, like to open a door. Like, does that correspond with
that's there, but it's a lot more simplistic.
Okay.
Like, say you want to light a match, you basically just take your finger, or you want to turn a page of a book, mm-hmm. you just take your finger and swipe the pad.
I like that.
It's very responsive. Sometimes you light a lantern and you
How
just
much
basically
did
hold
use the touchpad. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity.
Just every time you look through
more
a
than
book,
any
book,
other fucking PS4 game.
Once is more than
yeah,
any
exactly.
just anytime you search through a book or anytime you light a match or something. Okay. It's
there are a lot
neat.
Of books in the game?
Because
what's the Argonian maid? Is that in it?
No, there's none of that. But just to see that one of the things I really want to get into is the point of the game isn't necessarily to get to the end, because it's actually particularly short.
Okay.
Point of the game is to collect a bunch of clues, get to the end of the game, and then go back and start over and see what paths you can take down characters down that you hadn't taken them down before. And as you're doing that, you can put together more of the puzzle. You can find out more about what happened, what went on.
Is it one of the games that warrants several playthroughs because you learn different things on different playthroughs?
Yes. Unless you're extremely observative of everywhere you go.
Okay.
Because I haven't even found everything yet, and I played through the game twice. Hmm. First time I played through it, I think I got three people out alive. This time I got everyone out alive except one guy. And now I'm going to try to
kill everyone?
I'm going to try to kill everyone.
Of course you are.
And actually, no, before I'm going to do that, there's actually a pivotal character that I haven't figured out how to save yet. I'm going to try to figure that out.
So you've played it through twice already, and it's different enough both times to where you can still enjoy it and not feel like you're just playing it to get through to the end to see what's different.
I think just the fact that one playthrough you saved three characters and then second playthrough you saved all of them, that would be different enough for me to guess.
Yeah,
for me
and
as well.
There's new scenes and there's new things. If you get a character...
And you learn different story beats because of a different person's there, yes. They may have seen something.
Yeah, so you see if a character dies early on, you're not going to control that character anymore throughout the rest of the game. That survives, then near the end, you will be able to obtain playability of that character for a bit longer. And I love it.
Cool.
Yeah. I want to play it. I'm now getting to the point where I'm regretting getting rid of my consoles because they're becoming games that I really want to play.
It's not on Steam?
No. Mm. It's PS4 exclusive.
Okay.
Do you own it?
Yes, I own it.
But now we have...
I want to borrow it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Until Dawn, cool,
man. I'll just bring it on over.
I love you. How many Phil heads do you give it?
I'm gonna give it 4.5 Phil heads out of 5.
I would like to see that.
God, can you draw a 4.5 scale Phil
head? We should start doing more reviews again.
Yeah, and use Phil heads.
Let's do that.
God, that's a great idea. Yeah. Phil.
Yes.
I need you to start sketching Phil heads.
Yeah. Don't stylize them, though. Make them as realistic as possible.
Do you know how long that's going to take?
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck, dude.
And the halves?
All you have to no, be, dude,
like,
all
really
you,
gory. Like,
yeah, blood. Exactly. Yeah. All you have to do is draw one of each. Because then we can just...
Yeah, just one. Yeah. So draw a one, and then a half one. Yeah. And the half one has to look like you got cut in half, like gore and
blood and guts. And speaking of gore, since we're just kind of going for it now, I've been watching this show called Penny Dreadful. It's a Showtime show. You've seen it. You haven't. Phil, I feel like you would love this show.
I do, too.
I'm not as much of a horror enthusiast as you would think.
It's not horror.
It's not?
No, that's the thing. It's not a horror show. It's just very macabre.
It's like a Victorian sort of...
But it's also starting to deal with like ancient Egyptian mythology and stuff. Yes.
I like that.
So this is where it caught me, is that it's like, it's talking about like this ancient evil, like, and when like Amun-Ra and Amun-Sut or whatever, like, combined together, and like, one of the first, like, they went and fought this, like, horrible-looking beast, and then they were, like, dissecting it. Dr. Frankenstein was dissecting it, and this whole other side story. It plays with, like, the old... Penny Dreadful, as I understand it, was, like, a really dark story that you got in, like, a newspaper or something like that. And so it deals with a lot of that kind of, like, Victorian era. Like, Jack the Ripper is part of it, and Dr. Frankenstein and all that kind of stuff is interwoven into the story in a very, like, interesting way. But the main overarching story is, like, so they kill this monster, and they take it to Dr. Frankenstein to, like, dissect, and they peel away the skin, and underneath is, like, this hard, rocky surface with hieroglyphics carved into the dude's body. And that's, like, they take it to this, like, Egyptian scholar, and that's, like, prophesied.
When did that happen? Because I feel like I kind of
first
remember.
First episode.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And so that they find out later that it's, like, this ancient, like, Egyptian evil that is, like, foretold in, like, scrolls and stuff. So it gets into a lot of this, like, ancient, like...
Foretold in the Dead Sea scrolls written in code.
Yes. Exactly.
Nice.
Where is he?
Somalia.
Anyways, but it's really good. It's really, really good. At times, I have a hard time watching it because it's just so... It's got a very, very... It's kind of like Silent Hills in the way that, that some of the imagery and some of the acting is incredibly...
It's disturbing.
All, very well acted.
Mm-hmm.
Very disturbing. Some of the, like, just situations that are put into it are just so dark and so, like, really on a, like, a basic human, like, level. Like, not like... It's not a fantastical, like, darkness. It's a real, like, they prey on some really, like...
This is, like, really ugly.
Really gritty. Ugly thing. Like, there was this one scene that specifically got me in the third episode where Frankenstein brings a dead person back to life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what he does. But whatever. And the dead person had... The guy had come back and he was kind of giving a monologue about his rebirth. And he was like... I learned that birth was one of nothing but the deepest, purest agony. And it showed the guy, he was, first of all, he was naked, covered in blood, and he was like kind of scarred up because he had been dead. But it showed the guy just writhing in pain and agony and just screaming. And he like reached out for help from Frankenstein, but Frankenstein was so like off put and scared by it, he left him. And just in this dark, dreary room with blood everywhere, left him locked the door. And it just showed the guy just wandering around, like, begging, like, just screaming and begging for help to be, like, saved from this. And it just made me feel like that's one of the most disturbing, like, images that I've ever seen, is this completely naked man.
Mm-hmm.
See his dick, everything.
Uh-huh.
He's all bloody, and he's just in agony, just curled up on the floor screaming. And I was like, this is hard to watch.
Yeah, I got this from the two or three episodes I watched. It was very, I think three, the horror aspect and the those kind of fictional elements, like with the characters and everything, were much more grounded.
Yes,
to the point where you don't think of them as the traditional characters. That
no,
you
know. You're not thinking of
You're not thinking of Frankenstein with the bullshit in his head. It's just a dude that he brings back to life.
Right. Yeah, Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. And it's just and that, and there's like, you know, there's, they are very grounded, like the everything is a very realistic like take on these old tales and stuff like that. And
awesome,
it's, I think you'd love it. I think you'd love it a lot.
I would love it to show up on Netflix.
Yeah, it's not gonna, it's a Showtime show.
Showtime shows have come on Netflix before.
Do they?
Yeah, the Tudors.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, the Tudors.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just torrent it.
Okay.
You're not gonna do that. No, it's really good though.
Do also.
It's got Timothy Dalton.
Josh Hartnett, who made his long awaited return to acting with.
And
this
he's
show.
A fucking Western cowboy that shoots two fucking revolvers. It's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
He does a really good job.
And Eva Green,
who's awesome. She looks weird. I always think she's been a weird looking
girl. She's got a weird look.
Yeah, she's got a weird look. Really kind pronounced, of, like, facial structure.
She's got two boobies, though.
Two boobies. she was in that movie that I saw called, what was it?
Was it 300, Rise of the Empire?
No, she was in Sin City.
Yeah, she was.
She was in Sin City, but it was this Western, had Mads Mikkelsen, what was it? What's his name?
Oh, Michael Madsen?
No.
Oh.
Mads something. Anyways, it was...
Mad Dog McCree?
No, yes. No. It was that Western that dealt with... I was telling you about it. It was the Western that dealt with... Swedish, like, immigrant or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was really good recent. She was in it. She was excellent in it. She's a fantastic
She's incredible.
She's great.
She's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really good in this and does some real weird stuff. But you should find a way to watch it because I think you'd love it.
Thank you.
I'll love it.
I want to watch it now.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Anyways, what have we been playing? Anything else? I've just been playing Metal Gear Solid and Tricky.
I played a bit more Metal Gear Solid, but mostly just.
Where are you up to?
Not much further. I did some side ops because I had to get some stuff for another mission, a combat deployment. But I'm on. I've done like two main missions, so I'm on like 14.
Oh, I'm
15.
No, I've overtaken you.
Yeah.
Phil, when do you see another cutscene in that game?
Sometimes actually a side op may be an important story mission.
Well, yeah, I got that. Like, I saved Emmerich, obviously.
Yeah, okay, so, you're not too far past that, right?
I'm kind of far past that.
Okay, just keep playing.
Yeah, I will. Finally got quiet to...
Did Emmerich, has he been tortured yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay, I've passed it.
All right, cool.
But not that Phil cares.
Can we talk about Quiet? I don't know if I like her.
Oh, I love her.
As a buddy.
I think she's very useful. You just have to know how to control her.
I guess that's the part, is that I don't really understand the rules behind the way she works.
She just disappears.
I tell her to go somewhere, and she goes somewhere, and then I don't know how to, like, exactly get her to kill people. I know when shit pops off and people start shooting me, she does work.
So you gotta go to the buddy section, and there's the two options, quiet attack.
Yeah, I know, I know, spell. I know. But I tell her to attack, and then she just sits there and doesn't attack.
That's weird.
I sometimes tell the dog to stay, and it doesn't stay.
Yeah. I like the dog. I really like D-Dog because I could just walk around and he would mark everyone. I know Quiet does that, but I get to certain parts when she's fucking across the map. I tell her I need her to be here. It takes her like 45 seconds to get there. When with D-Dog, I could just walk in and he would just mark people for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that has to do with like the positives and negatives of each buddy.
I mean,
here's the thing is that when you're using Quiet, you want her to scout ahead of you.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what she's for.
And that's the thing. I guess I can't need to just remember is that if I'm driving somewhere, I need to send Quiet there before me.
Yeah, that's a part of it. But I mean, here's the thing: is like if you prefer D-Dog, there's nothing wrong with that because he's one of the best additions to anything stealth ever. I love D-Dog, but I've just found myself using Quiet more often because it's really convenient.
I know why you use Quiet.
No. Have you ever been in a situation where a guy spots you and you don't shoot him in time, but the moment it comes out of the slow-mo segment, a bullet goes right through his head?
No, I have not.
That happens to me all the time. That's a part. That's the thing that comes with having Quiet.
You know that. Watch your back. The enemies, like the way enemies are, is dependent on how you play. Did you know that? So if you take a lot of headshots, they'll start wearing helmets. If you use a lot of
grenades,
they'll start wearing gas masks.
You can stop that through the combat deployment menu, too. Like,
really?
There's missions. So there's missions in the combat deployment menu. If you go down to the bottom, there's a bunch of missions where you can stop the supply of helmets.
Oh, motherfucker. I didn't know that. I knew that.
So that's why I was having such a hard time.
If you do a lot of headshots, they'll start wearing helmets.
I thought that was a natural progression in the game, though.
If you use a lot of like explosives, they'll start having a lot of armored troops and stuff, or a lot of heavy weapons.
If you attack at night a lot, they'll use spotlights
and night vision goggles. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like a lot of so a lot of that is dependent on how you play the game.
I actually didn't know that.
You can counteract that with the combat deployment.
They're incredible game.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's more depth than I thought it was.
Dude.
But anyway, so yeah, Quiet's a tricky character to learn to play, but I think you'll have a good enough time just playing as D-Dog.
Okay, I'm taking PlayStation 2 game requests. What do you want me to play?
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy.
Yep.
I want you to play FIFA Street.
Okay. I want you to play From Russia with Love just because I've never played it before.
Okay, I will play that because I never finished it and I remember it being awesome.
I beat it, loved it.
Yeah,
awesome.
It was such a good ass game.
It happened late in the cycle of that generation, so you know, I never escaping. Got the love.
First of all, I have 100 Japanese RPGs.
Damn,
it's scary.
Dragon Quest 8.
God, dude, I've played that game so many.
I like Breath of Fire.
I played the first 60 hours of that game so many times.
And well, you've never gotten more, it won't hurt.
I always get to this one point where I just can't keep doing it.
I can't wait to beat The Witcher finally.
I know, dude. Oh, did I tell you? I told you I had to reset my computer.
Yes.
Or restore it. I lost my save.
Yeah,
it wasn't for some reason. It wasn't like I went. I downloaded again. I started up. No saves. Nowhere. Tried to sync like with the cloud. Nothing.
Fuck.
Oh god, dude.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
I don't probably never play it again. Or like in 3 years.
That's usually what I feel. Yeah, how I feel. Yeah.
That sucks. So
yeah, it does.
That really does. I'm sorry, man.
Plow.
Dude, I want to plowing fuck.
Put your dick in your computer.
Do you think that'll help?
Yeah. Do you think that'll bring it back, dude?
I think that'll do it.
Put my dick in GOG Galaxy.
So I won't be here next week, so that means something real quick.
Okay.
That means by the time I'm back on the show that I'll have the Nathan Drake collection in my
hand. Yes, you will.
Fun.
I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And Phil, you're going to give me Until Dawn? Do I get to keep it?
Yeah.
No, but you can borrow it.
That's rude.
You can borrow it.
It's a bit rude.
It's a bit rude. Kind of rude.
He's not Greg Niloff.
Dude, I'll...
What's Greg Niloff?
I thought about not saying that.
Phil, stop
now we, if you speak his name three times, he shows up and kicks your fucking ass.
He shoots you with a .38 that has a serial number removed.
Who the fuck is Greg Niloff?
Shut up, dude! God damn it, he's here now!
Great.
Oh, fuck! Great!
Shit!
What?